So today we are discussing the level of involvement a Jew needs in the cooking process. Well, we started discussing that last time, but today we're going to talk about turning on the fire and what the story is with turning on the fire, whether that's enough or not enough. So let's again just go through what we got out of the Gemara. So on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara was pretty clear that any time the food could not get cooked by what the Jew did on his own, and the guy's involvement was necessary in order for the food to be cooked, the Gemara said it is pshita that that's asur, right? That eid lo hafach may have a bashil, if eid lo they love bashil, my mutter, if the guy not flipping it never would have gotten cooked, why would that be mutter? Bishuli shalov de kuchavim ninu, the Gemara said. That is bishul akum. The Jew does something that's not going to get it cooked. And then the guy comes and contributes and makes sure it gets cooked. That is bishul akum, the Gemara had said. And then the Gemara had said, also alam l'chaz samd alif, that kol shu kamachu ben jersai, that once the Jew cooks it all the way to Machl Ben Drusai, it's not going to be Bishul Akum anymore. But if the Jew cooks it to less than Machl Ben Drusai, and it's still on the fire, and then the guy comes and does something, it will be an Isser of Bishul Akum. And the Gemara says, yes, if that's something that the guy does, is remove it from the fire and put it back on the fire. If he terminates the Jew's cooking prior to Machl Ben Drusai, and then starts his own Maisa Bishul before the food had reached Machl Ben Drusai, that is a case where it's going to be Aser. But if the Jew put it on the fire, and it did not yet get to Machl Ben Drusai, but if you just leave it there, it will stay, it will be good, it will get cooked, it will be fine, and the guy comes and helps it along, not removes it from the fire, but helps it along, that would be totally mutter. That's what the Gemara had said on Amud Aleph. But the bottom line is, the clear impression that you get from Amud Aleph is that if whatever the Jew does would not have been enough to cook it, you've got a problem of Bishul Akum. The Gemara on Amud Beis then discusses, Hiniach Ovid Chav V'Hafach Yisrael, Mahu. The guy puts it on the fire, and the Jew is hofech. The Jew does the rest of the cooking process, right? So what's the din? So if you only had Amud Aleph, what would you say right away? What would you say should be the answer to that shaila? It should be Bishul Akum. Why? No, again, what's the shaila? What are we talking about over here? Let's go. Come on, space in everyone. Yibayilu. Hiniach Ovid Chavim. V'hafach Yisrael. What does Hiniach Ovid Chavim mean? The guy cooked. The guy put the food on the fire. The guy turned on the fire. Put the food on the fire. And what did the Jew do? He wanted to feel like he was participating in the barbecue, so he smushes it down with that spatula thingy, you know. He pokes at it a little bit. Maybe throw some barbecue sauce or something. Mahu, what's the din? So the Gemara right away should say, Mahu? Obviously, without the guy's participation, is this thing getting cooked? Without a fire and without food on the fire, the thing's not getting cooked. You can sit there poking all you want. It's not getting cooked if there's nothing to poke at, right? But the Gemara does not say, well, hello, we just got through that. The Gemara does not say that. It seems to me, just the simple reading of the Gemara, that's like too big a kasha. And the Rishonim don't ask that kasha. The Rishonim only ask from later on that this Gemara goes against Amud Aleph. No one seems to be bothered that line goes against Amud Aleph. So it seems that this whole idea that were it not for the guy's participation, that it would not have gotten cooked, means were it not for the guy's participation after the Jew's involvement, it would not have gotten cooked. That's what Amud Aleph is teaching us. That once the Jew does something, the way the Jew left it after his participation, if it would have gotten cooked on its own, it's not going to be Bishul Akum. If it would not have gotten cooked on its own after the Jew left it, it will be Bishul Akum. The fact that the guy did a lot of very important things before the Jew was involved is not going to necessarily cause a bishulakim problem. Apparently, there is this svara, I'm guessing, just because it's the only way that makes sense to me, that when the Jew does something, he's taking ownership of every part of the process till that point. So even though the Jew found meat on the barbecue, and all he did was he poked at it and he moves it and he whatever, you know, that means he's taken over the grill. It's his barbecue now. When he walks away from that barbecue, if it would get cooked just the way he left it, that's fine. Even though the guy took it on the fire, the guy put it on the grill, that would be fine. That's what the Gemara seems to be assuming. Of course it's okay. If a guy finishing the job is okay, then a Jew finishing the job is of course okay. So what did we ask last time? What are you talking about? If a guy finishes the job, it's okay. You know why if a guy finishes the job, it's okay? Because when a Jew started the job, it would have cooked had the guy never showed up. That's why a guy finishing the job is okay. What does that have to do with the Jew finishing the job? When a Jew finishes the job, nothing would have happened without the guy's participation, without the guy lighting the fire, putting the food on the fire. The Gemara must be assuming that we look at it from when the Jew leaves. So we're saying, Gamro Biad Yisrael, that we're looking at the Gemara, that the Gemara is considered something very, very significant. Then the Gemara goes on. Itmar Nami Amar Rav Chanan Rav Yochanan Rami Lam Rav Acha Bar Rav Chanan Rav Yochanan Bein Sheiniach Ovicham Vavach Yisrael Bein Sheiniach Yisrael Vavach Ovichavim Mutter. You know, if you look at two parts of the process, putting the food on the fire and then doing the rest of the bishul, it doesn't matter which part the Jew did; it's fine. Veinu Asar Shetit Chlasu Gamar Biyad Ovichavim. And the only yisur is when it's chlas of a gamro, when the guy does everything. And then this last line, Amar Avina Hilchasa Har Rifta De Shagar Ovid Chavim Va'afa Yisrael. That's not a troubling one. Next line, Inami Shagar Yisrael Va'afa Ovid Kol Chavim. Inami. Shagar Ovid Chavim Va'afa Ovid Chavim Va'asi Yisrael V'chata B'chituyei Shapir Dami. That if a Jew does any one of three things, it's good enough. Any one of three things. Shagar, Afa, and Chituyei. What do these things mean? Shagar, Afa, Chituyei. So this is going to be very critical. Now keep in mind, this is Daf Lamed Ches. We're done with Pasakim. We're supposed to be learning Bishulakim now. So this is the Gemara talking about Pas, but seemingly in the Sugya of Bishul. And that leads to a major Machlokas Rishonim. Whatever Heter we just learned over here, is this a Heter in Pas, or is this a Heter even in Bishul? So now, how do you learn? What's Shagar, what's Afa, what's Chituya? Start with Shagar. What's Shagar? Lighting the fire. Okay? A Jew lights a fire, leaves it like that, and then the guy never comes along and puts the... What's afa? What's afa? Putting the bread on the oven, right? In the oven. So the Jew lights a fire, prepares the oven, preheats it, right? They say preheat the oven. You know what? I'm an excellent chef. I do chicken nuggets. It says preheat the oven to 425 for the meal marked chicken nuggets to work. That's not subject to Bishlachim, it's not Allah Shulchan Malachim. It's Nechel Kamo Shulchai. It's you have all the kumas. Not Nishtanim Rubiyas Ali there. I don't know. Whatever. You have all the kumas. It's not Roy Lach. It was Klavim. You know. So but it's you preheat the oven to 425 degrees. So I preheat the oven. I got the oven all ready. If nothing would have happened after that, I left it. The Jews participated first. Nothing would have happened after that. Would anything get cooked? No. There's no food in the oven. There's no dough in the oven. Yet, what does the Gemara say? Mutter. It's totally mutter. So this is where the friction comes from. It's this line of Gemara. Right? This line of Gemara is against what we said in Amar Aleph. On Amar Aleph, we said that if you have a case where had the guy not come along, nothing would have gotten cooked, it's aser. we touched that up a little bit, redefined it a little bit, and I think I'm right about this, but maybe I'm wrong, but let's assume I'm right about this, that means if a guy never would have come along after the Yisrael's participation, it never would have gotten cooked, that's when it's asur. But had the guy never come along before the Yisrael's participation, we don't, you know, wouldn't have gotten cooked, that's still going to be mutter. That, because when the Yisrael comes, he takes ownership, becomes his. Right? Let's say such a svar. So how do we explain this last line? This is where the friction happens. This is where the problem happens. This is where the problem happens. So if you take a look at the... right, so I mean just logically, before we take a look at anything, logically, how many ways are there to explain this? So number one, we could say, yeah, of course you have kulas over here. This is a kula because we're talking about panos. We're not about bishul. But by bishul, the halacha remains the same. If you're in a situation where had the guy not come and never would have gotten cooked, so by bishul, of course it's going to be asur. By panos, so that's one possibility. Another possibility, logically. Between lighting the oven, which is going to be mutter, and what?
Placing it down, turning on the oven to a temperature where it's not cooked. That's because I have an oven.
And putting food on fire, but it would not have cooked. Either temperature that it would not have cooked, or it would not have cooked both sides of it, or whatever. It would not have cooked it entirely. Okay. That lighting the oven is more significant, which is, right, okay. You could argue the other way, that lighting the oven is less significant because you're not actually doing anything with the food, but you could argue that, no, at least lighting the oven, you're creating enough heat to do cooking. But, you know, exposing food to heat that won't cook it is zero. That's like taking food out of the fridge. Right, it might not have to mean that you take it out of the fridge or you put it on such a low flame that it's not going to cook. Okay, you could say such a svara. What else? You could also say the Gemara just changed his mind. I mean, Olive said one way. I mean, Beis said another way. And that this is, in fact, about Bishul. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, right, in Sivvav, sorry, I'm taking up all your space here on this table, in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel Sivvav, so Shulchan Aruch writes, Kol she Bishul Yisrael ma'at Bishulo, bein b'chila, bein b'sof, motiv. If the guy puts the food on the fire, and the Jew deals with the food, it's an unusual lashon. Shehigis Yisrael. I would have said, what's the flip side of that? All right, Mati pointed out that. Strange wording. I don't know why it says that way. Hareza mutter. Then says Ramah, Vafilu loyim mispasha blosi over chavim. So the Ramah is automatically makel that even if it would not have been mispasha without the Yovid chavim. Now, the Beis Yosef, which is where the Mechaber comes from, obviously. Right, he deals with this problem in the Gemara. And Beis Yosef writes, Beis Yosef writes, Umikol makom, yesh l'tmoa al Rambam v'Rabbeinu. Says I've got problems with the Rambam and the Tur. Shelo kasvu dahad d'shari b'niach Yisrael v'havach goy. They don't qualify. That if a Jew puts it on the fire and the guy does the rest, then it's dafka b'dilo of the guy elakir of bishul k'damirin b'gemara. Avalech dilo avach b'gay lo avach. They don't qualify that if the food never would have been cooked without the guy's participation, they don't qualify it to say that it's aser. So says the Beis Yosef, V'yishlomar sh'rabbeinu samach hamash ha'kosav achar kach kabi yiniach yisol al gabi g'cholim omos. Wow. Why don't they qualify it this way? It's so obvious they don't need to say it. Meaning, Beis Yosef very clear. What the Gemara says in Amud Aleph is, Chai v'kayim, it absolutely stands. Why don't the Rishonim, the Tur, the Rambam, why don't they make mention of this idea that, look, if the guy never would have cut, if you're in a situation where had the guy not come, the thing never would have gotten cooked, you've got a problem. Of course you've got a problem there. Maybe from Meir Svara. Because when you took it, it's like taking it out of the fridge. What did you do already? Right? There's no doubt. A woman asked me once, she prepared a lasagna. All she asked the guy to do is mamish nothing. Turn on the oven, put the lasagna in the oven. That's all she asked the guy to do. The woman did everything. She went to the store, she bought all the ingredients, she followed the recipe, she laid out the noodles and then the cheese and then the sauce. I don't know how you make lasagna, but she did all of these things. She prepared everything. So he says, you mean to tell me that if I turn on a fire, that's enough? But I made the whole thing, and that's, you know, my next door neighbor turns on the fire, and the guy goes to the store, and the guy makes it, okay, but leaving out aside, trusting the guy to go to the store, the guy goes to the store, and the guy prepares the lasagna, and the guy does everything else. That's okay, but this is not okay, and the answer is yes, because you didn't cook. You prepared. Preparing is not cooking. So, says the Beis Yosef, maybe Meir Svara, that when you expose it to a fire that will not cook it, you didn't cook, you prepared. You didn't aid in the cooking process even. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, v'nira, debasar shetzolim b'shvud, if you have meat on a barbecue or on a spit, and it doesn't rotate, you ever see a rotisserie? So a rotisserie works because it rotisseries, right? It rotates. If there's fire only on one side and you just have meat sitting over the fire, what's going to happen? One side's going to cook and the top side, which is not exposed to the fire, is going to be raw. Aval b'yishyenei chisrol ha-shvudim ha-basar tachubo samuch le'esh b'makom sliyaso asr litno l'goy l'hofcho. The guy being hofech is not going to be good enough over there. Why? The other side wouldn't have gotten cooked. Plus, the guy may flip the burger, right? He may actually remove it from the environment, and that, the Gemara says, is beferish. The Jew's not going to realize it. That's not like what our Gemara said is mutter, where the Jew leaves it while he goes to the base medrash, and the guy just stirs it. It says, because over here, you don't take a pot off of the fire once it's cooking. But you do take a burger off of the grill. You do take a spit off of the open fire pit or whatever. The Rama on that, in Darkei Moshe, says, whoa. He said, you're going to be machmir like that. That you don't even know that the guy took it off. And you're being machmir that maybe the guy took it off? Come on. Plus, he says, the tour never distinguished between roasting and cooking. And that by cooking, you don't have to worry that he's going to take it off. And by roasting, he will. So he thinks the Beis Yosef is going way overboard in terms of his level of chumrah that he's suggesting over here. Okay, so what do we have over here? So we have the mechaber, predictably. Once you see that Beis Yosef, so the mechaber very predictably tells us that, or doesn't tell us. He doesn't say explicitly, but it assumes that if you're in a situation where had the guy not come along, it never would have gotten cooked. Awesome. It's absolutely awesome. Rama is mekel, though. So the question is, how does the Rama shtim with the Gemara? So the Prichadash, the Gra, say it doesn't. Rama's wrong. Right? If you look at the Gra, Os Tezayin, in the bottom of Shulchan Aruch, for those who have a Shulchan Aruch, on that Rama, the Gra writes, the Gemara Mavor Hepechze. Says that's nice that Rama has an opinion. The Gemara is the opposite opinion. V'chein kasav v'beis Yosef v'ayein shachu prichadash. And you got to look at what the shach and the prichadash say. So what does the prichadash say? He says what the Gra says. Yeah, Rama is against the Gemara. I'm not passing that Rama against the Gemara. All due respect. That's always the lesson people use when they don't respect him. All due respect. I don't think there's much to do. The shach. Now the shach always has more mazel than the taz. The taz is on the other side of the shulchan aruch, but we always pass on like the shach. You know, it's just one of those things. And in Aruch Chaim, Magen Avraham and the taz, almost always like the Magen Avraham. But the taz adds a lot to enrich halachic discussion, but we rarely pass on the taz. So the shach is the Rosh Marisha. He's the one that we look at first. So says the shach Sivkat and Ches. It's against Lamal Chesam and Aleph. And the Beis Yosef quotes Lamal Chesam and Aleph. Vinir the Sphere Leilis of Ahetav Ahara. He says it must be that Ramah holds. Dinihi de Medina de Shas Asr Bechia Gavna. Mikomakom Agam Chitoi Vikisim Asr Medina de Shas. He says, you know what else is Asr according to the Gemara? If a Jew throws in a little splinter into the fire, or just stokes the coals a little bit. No, the Gemara doesn't say anywhere that that's okay. Is that true? Gemara doesn't say anywhere that's okay? Chitui. We had that case at the end, right? Where chitui was okay. Yeah, but that might only be about bread. Or, that might not mean chitui of the gechal. That might mean chitui of the food. Okay, so we don't find anywhere explicitly the chitui kiseim are mutter. Because certainly if all you're doing is throwing a splinter into the fire, you know, like you can't be like the guy who takes full credit for everything because you threw the splinter into the fire. Right? You know, sitting around the Shabbos table, I'll show off to everybody, this food could not have gotten cooked without me because my wife went out and she said, please remember to turn off the fire at 3 o'clock. And by 3:15, I sort of remembered, and I, you know, because I walked through the kitchen, like, oh my God, it's 3:15. So it's not totally burnt. And the reason you have this food is because I cooked it. That's ridiculous. I didn't cook it. Hashlachas kisim is that. You know, to claim any credit with Hashlachas, you did nothing. And still more matir, alahainu mitayim et dekayim elan, dekeich, demani kisim el, so mukav yibay, so edem yishulei v'chavim. So says the Shach, Hashlachas kisim we're makel with against the Gemara. So we're makel with this against the Gemara. Against the Gemara? Yeah. He says, we were somech amashakosu b'chilufei minhagim debein b'nei Yisrael bein b'nei Babel de mahani. V'hanach lehem li Yisrael shiu shogigin. Hardly a ringing endorsement. Right? He says, there is Shas, right? There is a Gemara. But there's also something called Chilufei Minhagim Shabein B'nei Bavel B'nei B'nei Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what that is. It's not a Gemara. It's not a Masechta. And in the Chilufei Minhagim Shabein B'nei Bavel B'nei B'nei Eretz Yisrael, it says that Hashlachas Kisim is good enough. So, good enough for us. And like, just when you're getting confidence that this must be some book written by Tanayim or something that the Shach has great confidence in, he throws in, people are doing this Avera, don't tell them that they're doing the Avera, because then they'll continue to do it, but they'll do it b'mezid. So let them do it b'shogeg. So let's say, okay, now I already opened up a Shulchan Aruch. You know, it's like you totally ruined it. So now, what do I do? If I ask the Shach, Rabbi Shach, I already learned your book, what should I do? Not to confuse the Shach with Rav Shach, right? They're very different people. So what do I do? What would the Shach tell you? Can you rely on Hashlachas Kisim? Can you rely on any time where had the guy not come along, this thing would not have gotten cooked? The Shach would tell you, no. So that's why the Gro was so excited to tell you, oh, look at the Shach, and look at the Pri Chodosh. The Rabbah's wrong over here. We're machmir against the Ramah. The machmir, we're doing what the Gemara says. Comes along the Taz. Sivkat and Vav. After he quotes the Kasha, he says, "V'tzorach lo madachi kamer." Deloi mispashel karaoi below siyo ovid chavim. Aval kamachol mentrusai avabashel. Well, first he says that when we say that if it would not have gotten cooked without the goy's help, it's going to be usher. That means it would not have gotten cooked fully without the guy's help. When the Ramah says that even if it would not have gotten cooked without the guy's help, it's going to be mutter, that means that if the Jew at least would have gotten it to Machal Ben Drusai, it's going to be mutter. So first answer of the Taz is, when the Ramah is being makel against the Gemara, he's not being makel against the Gemara. There's a way to reconcile what Meir said before. That when the Jew exposed it to a fire that would have gotten it to Machal Ben Drusai, then the guy, whatever the guy contributes after that, that's fine. But if the Jew exposed it to a fire that would not have even gotten it to Machal Ben Drusai, Aser. Let's keep track how many tirutim we have so far. Stira, Gemara and Ramah, right? We have the Gra, Prichadosh. Yeah, steer between the Gemara and the Ramah, because the Gemara is right, the Ramah is wrong. Okay, simple. Shach, there's the Sefer that a lot of people don't, you know, rely on. They don't really know about it. Mutav Shushogigin. Bottom line, the Gemara is right, the Ramah is wrong, but we'll allow people to be wrong if they don't know that they're wrong. Okay. Now we actually have the first resolution over here. Says the Taz, the Gemara and the Ramah are talking about different cases. And the Gemara is absolutely right, that if the Jew put it in a situation where it never would have even gotten to Machal Ben Drusai, then it's going to be Aser. So far, according to all three approaches that we have so far, can you rely on the simple reading of the Ramah, that if you expose it to heat, but not enough to get it to Machal Ben Drusai, and then the not enough to cook it, and then the guy comes along and cooks it, can you rely on that mutter? Absolutely not. I don't care that you turned on the fire and started the cooking process. If you needed the guy to make the fire bigger, bring it closer to the fire, do stuff in order to make it cook, absolutely not. All three approaches so far. Comes along approach number four. Aval be'emes, b'lav achi gaim lam ki yesh chol ken shevi rama b'samuch. Da'ad lo kase, hey, shalchitoy mahani. You turn on the fire, it's good enough. We don't pass the light, you know, we don't have to worry about this whole conversation. We pass even turn on the fire is good enough. Well, because v'adai lo yabashon lo yamaisa v'chavim. If the Jew would have left it like that, I preheated the oven. Ooh. Okay, you would have had a hot oven and no food. Obviously, the guy is going to put the food in the oven. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had food. And yet, we're making on that. And the Ran already asked on this, that it's against the Gemara. Okay, so what did the Taz do? You think this is bad? You think this is bad? That the Jew turns on the fire, puts the food on the fire, but it wouldn't have gotten cooked, and then the guy comes out. I'll tell you much worse. Jew turns on the fire, doesn't even see the food. And even that's going to be mutter. He didn't help yet. Okay, so we do much worse. Why do we do much worse? V'nir alani azayti. Da'heim sviralu d'ksha amur achar kach b'gemara de'nasra ashitchilas of a gomro b'yadovi chavim. When we say that it's only us or if the guy starts and finishes the process, hadar be'imi svarazu. The Gemara is changing its mind from what it said on Amud Aleph. V'yafal pi d'b'lo'i v'chav lo'im espashel. Even though it could not have gotten cooked without the guy's participation, mikal makom kimishin sol siyeya bahaschala obasov mutter. Wow. The Gemara is changing its mind, meaning it's explicit on Amud Aleph, implicit on Amud Beis. We're going to go with the implicit on Amud Beis over what's explicit on Amud Aleph. Whatever it said in Amud Aleph, you can forget about. Ooh, so according to this answer, we can rely on the Ramah. Just do something. That's good enough. Comes along the Taz and he says, V'nir lani yastayti lini halacha d'davka bebeis Yisrael yeshlis macha kulazu. The last shiur. He says, you need to be mitzari for this with another kula. You can't rely on this kula alone. It's got to be bebeis Yisrael. And he quotes that day of Beis Yisrael. Most of the time, in the Maisa, that's where it's happening, right? As far as us in our homes, the housekeeper, whatever, it's in Beis Hashem Yisrael. But this kula, it would only work for Beis Hashem Yisrael. Like what is Simon's case from yesterday, that case with the barbecue or whatever, right? Even it had the Jews turned on the fire. Had the Jews turned on the fire. And put the food on the fire, but the fire was low. They turned on low and it wouldn't have cooked. And then the Goyim came along, not based on Shalei Yisrael, the Taz would say, not good enough. It's not based on Shalei Yisrael, not good enough. Yeah?
Can the Rabbah be learning that the final thing Gemara was passed is talking about official also? And that would be explicitly changing his mind?
Yes. Yes.
That's how the Taz is talking about the other thing.
I don't think so. Because the Taz is quoting the previous line, right? He doesn't quote the line about Pas. Right, so he thinks even without it, the Gemara changed his mind. I mean, even without saying that the part about Pas.
Also, it's the first answer in the Taz, the Shulchan Aruch wouldn't be arguing about it, would it?
Right. Which, by the way, the Lashon of the Ramah doesn't make it sound like he's trying to argue on the Shulchan Aruch. Right, it's not a V'yesh Omrim, Yesh Lahachmir, not... Meaning like just continuing the sentence. Now sometimes he does that, you know, he's cholik, but he's just like filling in the blanks, you know, he makes it sound like he's filling in the blanks. Okay. Now the take a look at the top Tosfos on Lamed Chasam Beis. Top Tos is important over here. Va'as Yisrael v'chati chitri b'gchalim. Mikula shemaitin. First of all, Va'as Yisrael v'chati chitri b'gchalim. Right? What did the Gemara say? What did the Gemara say? If what happens? If Shagar avichavim v'af Yisrael. Inami Shagar Yisrael v'af avichavim. Inami Shagar avichavim v'af avichavim va'as Yisrael v'chata b'chituyei. Did it say anywhere in the Gemara chituyeh begechalim? It said chata b'chituyeh, right? Tosfos says dibur maschal v'as Yisrael chata chituyeh begechalim. Mikul shmeid in mashma debinon she Yisrael mekarev habishul ktsas. Sounds from the whole sugya that the Jew has to do something to help the actual cooking process. Meaning, what we've discussed until this point is how much of a help in the cooking process the Jew has to do. Does it have to be so much of help in the cooking process that had the guy never come along, the cooking would still have happened? Or just that, no, that he contributed to the cooking process. Now Tosa says, and what if you don't even do that? What if you like make a token appearance in the vicinity of the cooking, but you're not really contributing to the cooking process? Right? You're the man taking the credit at the Shabbos table because you happen to have reach the ingredient from the high shelf, you know? You haven't really done anything. The sugya certainly doesn't say anything that would imply heter in such a case. When we throw in a splinter in the oven, we're relying on that old Bein B'nei Bavel L'B'nei Eretz Yisrael. B'kam B'nei Bavel Mashlichim Kisim L'tanu B'nei Marav Omrim Kisim Zem Ma'amaylo Ma'amorim V'anam Nimshachim Achrei B'nei Bavel V'talmudam. And we always follow B'nei Bavel and he throws in a word. V'talmudam. What did he do over there? What did he tell us to do? You see what he did? A little sleight of hand? Yeah, he said, we always pass on the Bavli against Yerushalmi. So if we have a tradition, B'nai Bavli held one way and B'nai Yisrael held another way, even though our actual Talmud Bavli doesn't say it, but that's what the B'nai Bavli did, meaning we don't pass on like the Talmud Bavli against the Talmud Yerushalmi, we pass on like Bavli against Yisrael. And this was B'nai Bavel against B'nai Yisrael. That's what the practice was, B'nai Bavel versus the practice of B'nai Yisrael. So says Tosfos. The Rush quotes the same thing. And that's what we're relying on. Now, if you look at the Beis Yosef, where he quotes the Gemara, Hinia Koi Vahafach Yisrael Mahu, Bein Shinia Koi Vahafach Yisrael, 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 Umashma Dihipech Dekaamar, Abbasar Koi. When we say that Havach for Yisrael has to be done in order for it to be mutter, that's talking about that you're Havach in the Basar. Dumi to make a sister Gedera, Danila Bahada Bibraisa Bigamara, Menyech Yisrael Basar Gabik Chalim, Bogoy Mahafech Bo. The Jew puts the food on the fire, the guy is Mahafech Bo. What is Mahafech Bo? He's messing around with the food. Shvesi Shgedera, Bogoy Magisa, stirring the pot. It's all about dealing with the food. And therefore, when we say Havach Yisrael is okay, it's only if the Jew does something with the food. Right? He says the Lashon Ram is Meduik this way. That what does the Jew have to do? The Jew has to deal with the food. And then says the Beis Yosef, but the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah makes it sound like Havach Kichalim is good enough. Havach Chalim, what's that talion? Whether you need Havach Pas or Havach Chalim? That last story in the Gemara about Pas. Is that about Bishul, or is that only about Pas? If that last story in the Gemara is about Bishul, so that Gemara sounds like, even though it doesn't say the word Chalim, it sounds like Chituyeh is normally a Lashon of Chalim. Right? Havach, you could argue both ways. Chituyeh, it's always Yechata B'Gechalim. That's the Lashon we generally use for Gechalim. We never use for food such a Lashon. So if that last Gemara, that last little piece in the Gemara is only about Pas and not about Bishul, we don't find anywhere that there's a Heter of messing around with the fire to be Mekel. But if it's about Bishul, so we do find that there's a Heter. So says the Beis Yosef, I don't know of any heter to be mechata b'gchalim. The Torah quotes such a lashon to be mekel with gchalim. And then says the Beis Yosef, if he quotes the Ran, tezvav am beis b'dap erith, where the Ran writes, by bread, shalosh melachos yeshba. The yishagri yisrael v'afagai shari, if the, right, v'dafka b'pas, l'fi sheshkiris ha-tabri melachim yuchedas b'am. This whole idea of Shagar Yisrael va'afagai, that it's good enough to light the fire, says the Ran, it's only good enough by bread. But when you're making anything but bread, not good enough. Why? So the Ran explains, because by bread, the lighting of the fire is much more important than it is by cooking. Now, on the surface, that makes no sense. Because you can't cook without fire. I know you can't bake without fire either, but on the surface, the preparation of the oven should be just as important by bread as it, by cooking as it is by bread. So that's why the Taz has to explain what the Ran means, and he says, "No, what the Ran means as follows: I turn on a fire for cooking. That's not the last time that fire is going to be manipulated. That fire is going to be dealt with over and over again." Because someone's going to lower it when it starts bubbling over, someone's going to raise it if he's not cooking fast enough. But the way they would bake bread is they would heat up the whole oven to a very, very, very hot temperature, remove all the coals which provided the heat in the first place, and then wrap the dough around the oven. And the dough would cook with what's called residual heat. Right? That's how you would bake. There are many people that barbecue this way. Right? You ever want to barbecue and not like burn one side and you want the heat to be even? So some people will fire up the grill to like a ridiculous temperature turn off all the fires, then put the food on the fire, on the grill. And the residual heat is what cooks it. So in that sense, the Ran is saying that when you lit the fire on baking, you're doing a much bigger deal, a much, much more important contribution than lighting the fire when it comes to cooking. So that whole heter that you have, chituye, is good enough? Or shogar is good enough? Shogar is good enough? That's only by pas, it's not by bishul. And he says, v'chein nirim divrei Rashba, and Rabbeinu Yonah. And if shogar is not good enough for bishul, chituye for sure is not good enough for bishul, says the Beis Yosef. V'chein kasav rivash, kvar eskimu kolam mefarshim she'ein shkira satan or moel ele bepas, av b'shar mispash l'min shkira satan or v'lo adlakas ha'esh malo moredes ela anoch adavka. You need to put the food in the fire. Not good enough to turn on the fire, not good enough to light the fire, to be shogar, to prepare the fire, by, prepare the oven by removing the fire and having it heated up. So when we say hipech is good enough, it means that you're doing something with the food. Ah. Beis Yosef himself says, you know what? I could make an argument, though, that turning on the fire is not good enough. Shogar is not good enough. Chituy is good enough. Turning on the whole fire. Shogar means you turned on the fire, you waited till it heated up, you removed the coals, all of that is not good enough. But when you just go by and poke the coals a little bit and the fire goes up a little bit, that is good enough. How could you make such an argument? When you light the fire, there's no food there. When you're shogar the tanur before the bread, there's no food there yet. That's why it's not good enough. Chitui is done when, right, in a Hilchos Shabbos context, for example, you walk by and you see that the food's not cooking as quickly as you want it to. So what are Chazal worried about? Shema, yechata b'kol. It's not cooking well enough, so I'm going to stoke the coals a little bit. And that will cause it to cook faster. The food's already there. So at first, the Beis Yosef goes in this whole thing, that a shogar is only good enough for pas, but not good enough for bishul. And if hidlik is only good enough for pas, but not good enough for bishul. Chitui for sure, chitui so much less. For sure is not good enough for bishul. Then comes the Beis Yosef and says, but yesh l'chalik. Yesh l'chalik. You could say that kanon belagzeishem achzinas kodim shineach basul litzol seino chach shumad likol litzol basul. He says, you know, when you're lighting a fire, no one knows what you're going to do with that fire. It's not obvious that you're going to use it to barbecue. Maybe you're just going to warm something. Maybe you're going to cook something that's not olal shulchan malachim or something that's nechal chai. That's why it's not good enough, because the Jew didn't do something that was an obvious contribution to remove the bishul akum problem. Mashen ken betanur to stumble in a little lefos bo. Avol kashem chat bechalim ba'od abasar aleihem u'mekarib bishulam mishrashari afil dasaran. But you know, when the food is ready on and you're doing something, everyone sees what you're doing. That's for sure good enough. V'dochak, but he says, I don't like it. I don't like it. So what would you expect the mechaber to paskin? What does a Jew need to do as far as cooking process is concerned? Put the food in the oven, right? Certainly not good enough to just turn on the fire. And that's what he does, Paskin, right? Comes along Darkei Moshe, and he says, you know, there's a Mahari that I've been quoting all the time, you know, that we said, what was the heter that we had, the Beiso Shel Yisrael? So we had all these different svaras of Beis Hashal Yisrael. So this Ma'ari that said that, you know what the heter of Beis Hashal Yisrael is? That I efshar shelo yichata echad mibrei habayis. What was the heter of Beis Hashal Yisrael? That if something is getting cooked in the Jewish home, there's no way that someone in the house didn't at least stoke the coals. Says Ramah, there's a Rishon, very, very clearly assumes, not only is stoking the coals enough, the chance that someone might have stoked the coals is enough. Right? That's what Beis Shalish shows. The assumption is, so you don't even have to know for sure. And then he goes a step further. Because of Shem B'Shem Moharam, Dimidlika Hagoya Ha'esh Me'esh Shal Yisrael Ubishla Tavshil Mutter. Wow. Now we went a lot further. What do you do? A Jew lit a yahrzeit candle. And the guy said, oh, I need a light to fire up the oven. The guy did everything else. A Jew lit a yahrzeit candle in that room. The guy takes that fire, goes, turns on the gas, lights it with that fire, and then cooks the whole meal. Mutter. We've never seen anything like that. Right? Just see how many assumptions you have to make to get to that point. Right? From the simple reading of the Gemara, Anamid Aleph, if the food would not have gotten cooked without the guy's participation, no good. Right? So first we have to assume we reject that. Right? And that you don't need the food to have been able to be cooked by the Jew himself. Then we have Anamid Beis, we have this story that Chitoy is good enough. But we said that's only by pas that the Gemara was talking. Okay, so we have to say no. Chitoy good enough means even for Bishul. Chitoy good enough is even for Bishul. Then we have to say, Chitoy being good enough for Bishul doesn't only mean, like the Beis Yosef suggested, and even this he thought was Dochak, that chitoy is good enough for bishul when there is food on the fire. It means any time the Jew creates the fire, it's good enough for bishul. Anytime the Jew creates the fire that's going to cook. Then you go a step further and you say, Tosfos. And what if the Jew's creation of the fire didn't really contribute to the cooking at all? There was a fire created by a guy and the Jew just threw a splinter into the fire that ultimately cooked. Also good enough. And then you go one more step further and you say, the Jew didn't even have to create the fire that, or mildly participate in the fire that cooked the food. What does the Jew have to do? Create a fire from which a fire was created by the guy to cook the food. And the actual fire that's in the oven, the Jew never saw. The Jew never touched, he never saw, he never threw any splinters, he never did anything. You know, we've gone pretty far in terms of, you know, how much we're willing to be makel. And you open up a Shulchan Aruch, and Siv Zayin, Ein Shgira Satanu. Mo'elas ela bepas mechaber shkira satan only works by bread. Avul b'shar mispashul main shkira satan v'lo adlakas ha'esh malu umorid. By other foods, shkira satan is not going to help. Ela anocha davka l'fich charos alavashul b'machvas betanu shlo v'chavim tzor shiten yisrael alamachvas atoch atanu mokum marid mispashul bo. The Jew has to put the food on the fire in a way that it could get cooked on its own. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. You know, the only part that's really debatable, just from the Gemara perspective, is whether that last piece, you know, on what the Mechaber says, is whether that last piece is only a heter for pas or even a heter for bishul. Right? The only part that you could have debated if you read the Gemara and you read the Mechaber is you could have said, Mechaber's being a little machmir because maybe shkira satan is good enough even for bishul. Right? Maybe Shkira Satan is enough for Bishul. That's it. So how machmir is the Mechaber being? There are two reasonable ways to read our Gemara, and he's choosing the more machmir of the two reasonable ways to read the Gemara. Right? Comes along the Ramah, Yesh Cholkin, Usvirulu Da'advakas Ha'esh, that Hadaka Se'esh O Chitoy Begachalim Mahani Linin Bishul Kamalinin Pas. That lighting the fire or Chitoy Begachalim, those are two separate things, two separate assumptions. Lighting the fire would be that not only is true when you're dealing with something like bread where it's a significant act, but even by Bishul. And Chitoy Begachalim, the Gemara said with regard to pas, which we're normally a little more makel by, but no, means with regard to bishul as well. And they both work. Kamo linyan pas. V'chei noagin. So at that point, the Rama says, I'll take the other reading of the Gemara. Meaning the whole issue is that last little piece where we said that lighting the fire is enough, chitei b'gechalim is enough. Right? Either one is enough. Is it only by pas or is it even by bishul? Machlokas mechaber amah, very reasonable. And then he says, "Va'afilu chitur below kavana mahani imala." Another step. Even if you're mechata without any kavana, where does he get that from? Where do we ever see chitur without kavana? So the Mari, that was about the fact that none of your household members remember being mechata. But it was in a Jewish home, so probably someone was. If they don't even remember doing it, they obviously didn't do it with kavana. It's just like, you know, they walked by, they probably did something. Okay. What?
Is that with kavana at the time? Like,
it seems to be someone was without kavana at all. I don't know.
Why would you need kavana?
Right, that's what it quotes in the Prince. Mimashmos Mari Bago Shari Dura Vikalba. And then why would you need kavana? Maybe this goes back to the chakira, right? Is it that the guy didn't do everything, or is it that the Jew has to do something? So maybe the Jew has to do something, he's got to do the kavana. Maybe. The yeshom dafil lo chita Yisrael v'lo hishlach sham kisim rak shovid chav midlaka esh mei esh al Yisrael shari. And then yeshom him way off. That even if he lit it from a Jewish fire, that's good enough. Says the Shach Mashma v'lishul chisei mol gam b'bishul Yaakov. You know what didn't he mention? He didn't mention lishul chisei, right? Rama says, and Yeshom, what happened? Mechaber says you got to put the food on the fire. The Rama says, if you light the fire, it's good enough. If you're mechata b'kuchalim, it's good enough. And then he right away jumps to. And if a guy, and some say that if a guy lit from your fire, it's good enough, even if you were not mechata and you were not mashal kisei. Mashal kisei, I mean, I've never mentioned anything about mashal kisei. So just by saying that, he seems to be saying that mashal kisei is the same as chita b'kuchalim. Just like stoking the coals, so mashal kisei does the same thing. Because why? What does stoking the coals do? Raises the fire a little bit. What does throwing a little more wood in the fire? Maybe it raises the fire just a tiny drop, a smidge. And that's good enough. So, you know, sometimes people learn like Bishul Akum, they know the halacha of Bishul Akum. It's like, yeah, Sephardim have this crazy chumrah that, like, you know, that you gotta, like, cook the food. Yeah, of course. I mean, that's the pasha reading of the Gemara, l'chavra. So, okay, the Ramah's initial, the initial stage of the Ramah, you know, we could justify, you know, with the reading of the Gemara. Right, we could just say, but the later stages of the Rama, you know, seem very, very difficult. Very difficult to justify. And that's why I think the majority of poskim assume that last thing, Me'isha Shal Yisrael, is only going to be in a real B'dievet situation. That we're not going to be happy about relying on that L'chadchila. Why is it worse than the Shlachas Kisei? Lighting Me'isha Shal Yisrael? Why is it worse? What? You didn't help in the cooking? I mean, you weren't even associated with the fire. This is the hetzer they use about pilot lights. L'chora pilot lights are even better than this. Me'isha Shal Yisrael, you know, it wasn't even near the oven. pilot light's part of the oven. You know what a pilot light is? They don't make ovens this way anymore. I think maybe some industrial ovens have like this. There was like a little fire that was always lit under the cooktop. You didn't even see it. It was constantly lit. And you could even feel a little bit of warmth. In our first apartment, we had an oven with a pilot light. And it would just stay lit for months and months and months. And when you turned on the stovetop, what happened was all that you were doing by turning the knob was that gas was flowing to the burner. Where was it flowing? Through the pilot light. So if it flows through the pilot light, that's how you have fire. Because normally when you just turn on a gas valve, you're not going to have fire. You need to introduce fire to the picture. Just turning on a gas valve, you'll have
gas,
right? So how do you get fire? It goes through the pilot light. How do our stoves turn on now? We don't bring a fire. We turn it on and somehow fire comes. Where is it? You're just turning a gas valve. So two things are happening. You're turning on a gas valve and there's an electric spark. There's an electric ignition. That's why it used to be turning on a stove on Yontif was mutter. Right? Because it was an already existing ash. All you're doing is turning on gas that's going to cause more, that ash to grow. But now it's asr. Why? Because on Yontif, you're not allowed to create an ash, yesh me'ayin. There's no ash there before. You're not allowed to be molded ash on Yontif. So we can't turn on our stovetops on Yontif nowadays, because we're creating that electric ignition, that spark that's being molded ash.
How did the pilot stay on?
What?
How did the pilot stay on?
It just always stayed on. Who knows, man? It was never exposed to the outside. It was inside the oven, so it always stayed on. If it ever went off, you'd start smelling gas. And then, that's why they don't do it anymore. If it ever went off, you wouldn't know, because you don't see anything, but you start smelling gas, and then you gotta go relight it if you don't want to die. So it used to be in industrial caches they would rely on this, right? They would rely on a pilot light that was lit 6 months ago by a mashgiach, and then every single time they needed to cook or bake anything in the place, it was an eish me'eish, and they were relying on this Rama of eish me'eish. Well, I guess all I'm trying to really show over here, through going through the sugya, just slowly going through the sugya, not really introducing anything new, just slowly going through all the points over here, is that it's a significant kula. Right? Eish me'eish is not at all the pashas of the Gemara. Now, sometimes it helps to say, you open up a shulchan, oh, the Rama quotes eish me'eish, okay, so eish me'eish. But like when you really go through the sugya, it's like it really doesn't really come from much. Even Ashlachas Kisein, which is the fire itself, wasn't in the Gemara. What did the Gemara have? Chitur. Ashlachas Kisein is less than Chitur. Because Chitur, you're actively raising the fire. You throw a toothpick into a giant fire, are you really doing much? In any recognizable way? No. Where did Ashlachas Kisein come from? Who's the one that mentioned Ashlachas Kisein? That B'nai Bavel B'nai Eretz Yisrael thingy that, Mutav Shiyu Shogigin, says the Shach. So, to review, just very quickly, everything we said today, okay? First half of the shir we discussed, what if the Jew leaves it, and as the Jew left it, it would not have gotten cooked. But then the guy participated and therefore made it get cooked. But again, after, it has to be after the Jew left it. So we said, Mechaber, clearly no good. Shach, anyone who knows anything would say it's no good. If you're an Amaretz, you can let the Amaretz be an Amaretz. But anyone who knows anything would be clearly no good. First answer of the Taz, if the Jew, having left it, it never would have gotten to Machlo Ben Yisrael, also no good. Second answer of the Taz, it's okay, provided that you also have the heter of Beis HaShel Yisrael. Because we'll assume that the Gemara changed its mind. Okay, that was topic one. Topic number two. What exactly does the Jew have to do in order for, to the fire, to the cooking process, in order for it to not be a problem of Bishlam? Right? So the Gemara, when it spoke about Bishul, spoke about putting the food on the fire, or finishing the cooking. Right? Once the food's on the fire, finishing the cooking. Then the Gemara said something about by pas, the Gemara said, even chitui gechalim, and even turning on a fire. Those are the same. Turning on a fire and chitui gechalim are halachically, you know, similar status. Even chitui gechalim or turning on a fire is going to be good enough. Machlokes Rishonim, does that mean only for pas? Ran, Rashba, absolutely it means only, and Beis Yosef's whole list of Rishonim, Rivash, you know, yeah, absolutely only for pas? Or no, those things will work even for Bishul. Turning on the fire, Chitur will work even for Bishul. Mechaber, that it works only for pas, not for Bishul. Ramah, those things will work even for Bishul. So turning on a fire, chitui, not the same, but similar halachic level, the Ramah is going to be making lechachiva. We can assume that when the Gemara said it, it applies to Bishul as well. That's at least from the Gemara. Next level down, hashlachas kisei. Not in the Gemara, but already appears in Rishonim. In the major Rishonim. From where? Where do they get it from? From this questionable Sefer. Right? Where Tulsa seems to be okay relying on. B'nei Bavel, B'nei Eretz Yisrael, Talmud Bavli. So Hashlachas Kisei. Not in the Gemara. Nothing in the Gemara indicates Hashlachas Kisei is okay. Next level down. Eish Me Eish. Not even in the B'nei Eretz Yisrael, B'nei Bavel thing. That the major Rishonim quote. But there is a Moharam, quoted by Darkei Moshe, who says Eish Me Eish is good enough as well. And so that's just, those are the levels. Just, we along the way, we pointed out that Chitui Gechalim may not exactly be the same as Hashlachas Kisei, because, as lighting the fire, because lighting the fire is done before there's ever food on it. Whereas Chitui Gechalim is done when there is food on it. And just to point out what should be obvious, if a guy prepared, just like I said before, if a Jew does all the preparation of the food, made the lasagna, right? And then the guy turns on the oven, puts the lasagna in there, there's no heter, right? No heter. On the flip side, a guy did all the preparation, took the lasagna, placed it in the oven, did everything. All the Jew did was, once the lasagna was already in the oven, turned on the oven, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? Mutter. Even according to the Mechaber? Yes. Mechaber said turning on a fire is not good enough, because when you're turning on a fire, there's no food there, you aren't cooking. But food sitting in an oven that's not on is nothing. Turning on the oven then becomes everything. So that, even according to the Mechaber, would be mutter. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll move on to the next topic in Bishul Akum tomorrow, Bez Hashem.